blessing this service has been. I truly hope that when we gather here on any given opportunity, as prayers have already been said this morning, that we simply focus on God and God alone, and that we just try our very best to understand the goodness of His love and the promise of His word. As well as this service has gone this morning, I really feel as if I could have a closing prayer and we could leave. But before we do that, I do want to share a message with you this morning on the importance of faith, the school of faith. And so if you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would turn to Matthew 16, and we're going to look at verses 13 through 17. And I'll ask this question to you already this morning. How many of you, when you go to a sporting event, you love overtime? You love the excitement of overtime? Raise your hand and be truthful. Well, good, because we're going into overtime. You know, we are like that. We watch our favorite teams play, and we don't want those good games to end. We love every minute of it. We sit on the edge of our seats. And so today, I hope that you sit on the edge of your pew, hanging to on every word in which God uses today. And so as we read these words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and how awesome and wonderful and glorious He is, let's focus on what it means to attend and to be a part of the school of faith. Out of reverence for God's holy and infallible word, please stand as we read. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say you that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Father, we do thank You for this day, God, and I thank You for this opportunity to stand before Your people. And God, as we study Your word this morning, Lord, I pray that Your will will simply be done in this message today, God. And may everything we do be all about You and nothing else. Father, we love You. And God, we do praise You. Amen. Amen. As we know, Jesus Christ Himself, He spent a lot of time developing His disciples, faith, because He knew it was very essential. He knew what was going to be in their near future when He departed from them. And so it was very important for Jesus to build them up, to mold them and make them, to teach them the importance of faith. Hence, they entered Jesus Christ's school of faith. And so today we're going to focus on that. We're going to talk about you and I being part of the school of faith. A school in which I hope you have already joined and you're attending, and you're attending faithfully, and that it should be something that's an ongoing process, and that you will not graduate from the school of faith until you draw your last breath or until Jesus takes us home through the rapturing of His church. That is the epitome of graduation. For over 3 years, Jesus Christ Himself took His disciples down the road to the school of faith, in and out, ministering, worshiping, and making disciples. Not just with His 12, but teaching them how to love one another, teaching those 12 how to go out and share the importance of His word. Jesus Christ Himself was the teacher, and the scripture in itself was and still is the textbook. Sometimes Christ used verbal communication, verbal instruction, but most of Jesus' lessons were hands-on. And if you're like me, I learn much better hands-on than I do by just hearing someone speak to me and tell me this is what you have to do. That hands-on is very important. So then you may say, well, why do I need to come here on Sunday morning to hear you preach to me if you are telling me to do it's better to go out and do? And that's what I want you to hear. I want you to be a hearer of the word. But when you leave here on Sunday and through the rest of this week, especially with what's coming up tomorrow, teachers who are here today and mothers and fathers, children, students, I want you to go out and be a doer of the word. So we've got to hear it and we've got to do it. By just hearing it is not good enough for Jesus Christ. He wants us to hear it. He wants us to believe it and apply it to our hearts and then go out and do it every opportunity that is presented. Jesus Christ himself demonstrated this through the healing of the sick. He casted out demons. We know that he fed thousands. And then one of my favorites is how he calmed the raging sea. Now this was a literal calming of the sea, but in our own lives he can calm your raging sea. He can calm your storms of life that you face every single day. And aren't you so glad that Jesus Christ himself spoke literally, he spoke figuratively, but we know that he acted upon all of his words, and he was always telling a story, whether it be through parable or whether it be through the true story of what he did right in front of his very own. And Jesus Christ always gave ample examples of how he loved and how to treat others and how to go out and minister to other individuals. Oftentimes, the disciples' training also included tests and tribulations for themselves. Jesus tests them quite frequently. Jesus tests you quite frequently, if you're willing to admit to that. A lot of times, he tests us, and we're not even recognizing that it's actually a test, and so therefore, you've already failed. In order to pass the test from Christ, you've got to seek help, seek instruction from the great teacher, or Rabbi, Jesus Christ himself. No better teacher will you find than Jesus himself. No better instruction manual or booklet will you ever find than God's holy and infallible word. However, with some of these disciples, sometimes they were slow to understand. If we're willing to admit it, sometimes we're slow to understand exactly what it is that God is telling us. And aren't you glad that when we don't fully understand what God's word is telling us, that he doesn't automatically rebuke us, or he doesn't just push us to the side and say, well, you know, let's put him on a IEP plan. He doesn't do that. God has a way to reach all people, no matter if there is an actual learning disability or not. God will always reach those who are willing to be reached. Very important to know the difference between God is always able and willing, but sometimes we are not as acceptable to. Jesus said in Mark 4:40, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So Jesus rebuked his disciples. He wanted his disciples to understand that I am telling you that I am the Son of the living God. Why do you not have this faith? I'm right before you. And so if the disciples cannot have great faith, then sometimes I see why it's hard for you and I not to have great faith. They were walking with Jesus Christ daily. And so it's difficult. We understand and know that life is difficult. And so what do we do about it? And so that's why we have to make sure that we stay enrolled in the school of faith. Last week we talked about being a part of the household of faith and how we're to take care of our own, which we are to do. We're commanded to do. We are a part of the household of faith, but at the same time, we're a part of the school of faith. And it should be a learning that you have a great desire for. A learning that you will just want to continue to pour yourselves into, where you just feel as if you can't learn enough. And tripping on, we will never learn enough about Jesus Christ and how wonderful and how amazing he is. So that's why we have to stay enrolled. That's why we have to continue to pursue that higher education. No higher education will you receive than the wisdom and the spiritual discernment of God the Father, God the Son, and the leading and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But as Jesus rebuked, he also commended. That's something, you know, we studied in our book of Revelation. As he was going through the seven letters to the churches, he rebuked several churches, but he also commended some churches. He found the good in some of these churches. And so Jesus Christ will find the good in you. We all have it. But you've got to be willing to surrender to Jesus Christ so that he can use those wonderful things that he's blessed you with to bring honor, to bring glory to who he is. So let's look back at Matthew 16, verses 15 through 17, and he gives us here the commendation of what he's saying to his disciples, specifically Simon Peter. I love the question that Jesus asked. He said, unto them, but whom say you that I am, is what he's now asking these disciples. And then Simon Peter, he boldly speaks up and he answers and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus recognizes that his answer was truthful and it was correct and he meant it with all of his heart. But Jesus says unto him, blessed art thou, Simon, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. How important is that to know that Peter didn't conjure up this idea on his own because he was just book smart. He conjured up this idea because it was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that was leading him, that God the Father had led him to this answer. He says, you didn't know this because of your own brain power. You knew this because it was revealed to you by my heavenly Father. Jesus' main objective was to firmly establish their faith. And just as Kevin spoke this morning, as we start in kindergarten, we work our way to first grade, second, and on to graduation and from high school, every year is a building block. And we've got to lay that foundation. And if you don't lay a firm foundation in kindergarten, let's even take it back even further. If you as parents don't lay a firm foundation as little children, beginning to read to them, beginning to teach them the way to treat others, and it's just not all about book smarts, you know, it's how to be nice to one another, how to treat one another, how to show kindness to those who are different than you. So if we can't do that at home from the very beginning, they've already missed a very important building block for the foundation. And unfortunately, I know many teachers here today would probably say this, that's what a lot of our kids are missing. They just don't know how to treat other people. They don't know how to do things that they're supposed to do at the age they are because parents don't take time to read to them, to just show them love and to minister to their needs. We let the video game be the parent. We let the TV be the parent. As long as they're not making noises and causing trouble, they're okay. And that's where we make mistakes. Got to teach them young. But when we teach them young, we have to teach them through the Spirit and the truth. We don't teach them through the ways the world wants you to teach them. We must teach them in the way of God, the godly way, the only way. And so Jesus was wanting to lay that foundation. He was wanting to build that faith. He was wanting them to see the importance of they must have great faith. Otherwise, they can't go on to do great works. Just as Kevin said once again this morning, if those men of God would not have been obedient and had great faith in who Jesus Christ was, we probably wouldn't even be here today. We would not have the words mapped out for us. Be thankful for the godly men and the faithful men who have already come before us 2,000 years ago. Be faithful for the godly and faithful men who laid the foundations of this church because they had a vision over 200 years ago. And for you men who are here today, I know this isn't Men's Day, but for you men who are here today, be faithful, be steadfast, be immovable. Do not faint and grow weary. Always show great faith to others, teaching them the importance of. That is our role, to be spiritual leaders of the household of faith. Right before Jesus' ascension, he commanded his men to spread the gospel of salvation to the most remote parts of the earth. It was his commandment before he ascended back to his throne on high, as he had already told his disciples he must do. They didn't understand, Father, Jesus Christ, why do you leave us? Why must you go? And we know that he said, I must go so that the Spirit of the living God may dwell among you. And aren't you glad that Jesus remained obedient even until the ascension back to his throne on high? Had Jesus chosen to stay and walk this earth, we would not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Once again, it goes back to being obedient. And it goes back to Jesus Christ having faith in his heavenly Father. I have great faith in you, God. I will ascend back to my throne on high so that as you have promised me that one day I will come back and I will rule this earth again. One of my favorite songs that the choir sings at Christmas time, which really it's an all-year song, In the First Light. What a powerful song. The Savior will come back one day to rule the new earth. Without faith, the disciples would have failed. Without faith, you will fail. And I do not say this to be derogatory towards you, but it is the truth. It is the gospel. If you have no faith in God, if you have no faith in anything that he can do for you, you are going to fail. You can try to hustle and bustle and do as much as you can with your own strength, your own might. You can create the busiest schedule to keep you right where you need to be, to keep money flowing in so you can provide for your family. But if you don't have faith for God and in God, you're going to fail. You may feel that you're providing all the essential needs for your child to grow up, but if you're not providing them with who God is and why they have life and how they can have life eternal, you're failing as a parent, and the child will fail. It's up to us. We've got to build that foundation of faith. The Lord has the same goal for you. Increase your faith so that you can do the work He has specifically planned for you. And I believe I've really said that to you all the last three or four Sundays, that He has plans, specific work planned and mapped out just for you. But you've got to receive it in order to go in. Fulfill it. You got to believe it before you can even receive it. If your faith is great, God will entrust you with great things, great challenges. And I've already issued two challenges today. And these weren't challenges that I just thought of on my own. I prayed for God to give me insight for what we can do better here at this church, that we can bring more honor and more glory to Him. And what better way is to continue to come together and to worship Him. So I do remember to issue this challenge to you that I want you to come back. I encourage you to come back tonight and on Wednesday, especially on Wednesdays. Powerful times when we gather here and we pray together and we listen to His Word and we just commune with one another. That's how we build the household of faith, and that's how we continue to bolster that foundation as we strive for mastery under God's Word. But just as great as God is with our abilities and our willingness to be faithful, if you have small faith, this in itself limits God's activity in your life. How many of you have experienced a time in your life where you knew that you were so far away from God? And we've all had that time in our lives of loneliness. But that loneliness of when you're just so far away from. There was probably a time in your life when you were right at the center of God's will, but over time it was a slow fade, as I say, and you find yourself so far away. And you have this hole in your heart, an emptiness within your heart. And that loneliness is because you know through conviction, through the Holy Spirit, that you're not doing what is right, you're not doing what is just. And so, when we have small faith, God can't use us in the way that He wants us to, or He wants to use us, rather. I would say that we're the ones missing out when God can't use us. But in actuality, God's missing out because He created us. He created us to worship Him, to praise Him, to serve Him, and to serve others. This past Wednesday, we were reading from Psalms 29, and I want to read two verses from there. Just listen as I read those verses, and these verses talk specifically of why we should worship Him and why we should praise Him, but furthermore, why God created us. And these are the words of David in Psalm 29. It says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness." If we exude little faith, we are diminishing ourselves before our Father. And therefore, if we're diminishing ourselves before God because we're not showing the faith that we're to show, you're diminishing the role of God. Not just what you can do for Him in serving Him, but you're actually diminishing the role of God Almighty. For He created you to serve Him. I love how David gives us these commands, per se. He tells us, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory that is due to His name. There is no other name like His. We should worship Him in the beauty and the holiness of who He is. Our demonstration of faith in Christ can always be shown through worshiping the Lord and His glory and His beauty. Faith building is very essential. As I've said, we must lay a wonderful foundation. That's why it's so important And by the way, thank you for those who stepped up for Sunday nights teaching our C3 group. It's so very important. You see how many little children were gathered here this morning? Well, one day we hope, we pray that these little children are going to be our youth. And then one day we hope and we pray that these children will then be the youth, and then they'll maybe take roles here within the church. But if they leave this church and they go elsewhere, that's okay too. But we hope and pray that they go out and they go and spread the gospel. That's why our roles to teach our little ones here is so very important. It is okay if we lose members and they go elsewhere, as long as they're going out and spreading the word of the true and living God. It's okay to let go of our own. That's what God wants us to do. That's why we have to focus on giving God our everything and giving God our children, as we will soon in a few weeks have a baby dedications here at the church. We've got to give the children back to the Lord. That's what He wants. That's how we build great faith. Scripture tells us what to believe about Jesus Christ. Various tests or trials may place us in difficult situations that stretch us to believe and truly rely on God and who He is. And that's why God gives us these tests. And I can look across this congregation today, and I know many of you are going through tests right now. And you may feel as if there is no end in sight. But there is. That's why you have a different smile on your face than those of the world. That's why you have a true joy that is deep down in your heart, because you believe, because you have faith in God. You may not understand why He's put you in the particular situation you're in and how this come about, but that's okay. You don't have to know why it happened. You just need to know and have faith and trust in God that He's going to see you through it, and He will continually see you through it as long as you keep your eyes focused on Him and nothing else. Jesus posed two very important questions in verse 13 and verse 15, and I'll read those again. Jesus, as He came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" He asked the disciples, what's the talk? What's the talk around town? Who are people saying that I am? And then He goes into 15, and then He says to the disciples, "But who are you saying that I am? What do you believe in your heart of who I really am?" With these two questions, I would really say that school was truly in session. Can you imagine how that question would have felt if God, or Jesus Christ rather, was to be here today and He looked you right in the eyes and He said to you, "Who do you say that I am?" Oh, here in church we may say, "You're the Son of the living God." But what if He asked you that question when you were at work, or when you were out with your buddies at school, or you were at home doing your own thing and no one else is around, and Jesus looks at you and says, "Who do you say that I am?" Will you be able to give Him the answer of saying then, looking Him in the eyes, "You are the Son of the living God"? That's why you got to make sure that you're always ready to give an account of what He's done in your life, no matter who's around, no matter who's watching. It's so very important that we always put God before anything else. And you know about that question, though, as I just spoke to you, I want you to go back in time for some of you that have been out of school for quite some time, myself included. You remember those times in life where you were sitting in class and the teacher asked that question. And you know, deep down inside, you really thought that you had the answer, but you weren't quite sure. You know, your palms begin to sweat, that heart starts to pound, and then you just don't make eye contact with the teacher because you figure if you don't see them, they're not going to see you, and they won't call on you for the answer to the question. Kind of similar to some of you all at dismissal when it's time for prayer. Y'all won't look at me. So if the preacher doesn't see me standing here, he won't call on me to pray. I still see you. And hey, I tried that same method before, and it doesn't work. The very first time Preacher John called on me to pray, I was looking right at him, and he looked at me, and I did this. And I knew that he had not seen me, but he had, and he called on me. So be ready. We've got to always be ready, don't we? And so that feeling of that question being asked, you're scared. Am I going to give the right answer? Of course, could you not imagine being intimidated by Jesus Christ, the teacher, asking you that question? Y'all have been with me for close to 3 years now, and many men have their own ideas of who I am, and I hear these things, but I'm asking you, Peter, John, who do you say that I am? These two questions were at the heart of Jesus Christ. He didn't pose these questions to call them out, to ridicule them. It was burdened upon his heart because he needed to really know where these men were thinking, where their hearts aligned. He wanted to know, he wanted to make sure that those disciples knew that he was the ultimate deity of the world. And you can imagine that Jesus would possibly feel that if he had not taught those disciples the way that he needed to, that maybe perhaps he failed as a teacher. How many of you have had that feeling as a parent or even as a teacher in the classroom? You may feel sometimes you fail, maybe because you didn't get the curriculum across to that student as you needed to. But we know that Jesus did not fail. We know that Jesus never fails. He spoke to them about the importance of his deity. He spoke to them about the importance of his coming death on the cross, one in which many did not want to hear. But many of Jesus' contemporaries recognized his prophetic role. Many people had seen and heard the stories of who this man was from Galilee. King Herod himself suspected him to be John the Baptist, resurrected. Some of his miracles that he performed were very similar to those of Elijah, which led many to think that it was a fulfillment of what Elijah had stated, that promised return, which is also very interesting too. Why I encourage you to come and be a part of our Revelation study. Elijah has a promised return, and we'll discuss that further as we advance into Revelation. But in Malachi 4:5, it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." And very similar to Jeremiah, Jesus himself was rejected because he preached judgment. Jeremiah was rejected because he preached judgment. Who wants to be judged? No one. Not in our own minds would we want to be judged, but it's very important that we judge ourselves, that we allow Jesus Christ to purge our hearts, to judge our hearts, to cleanse us. But no one wants to be judged publicly or even privately by another individual, a peer. John the Baptist, Elijah, and Jeremiah, we know, played very important roles, vital roles in the growth of the gospel, in the growth of who Jesus Christ is and who God is. But we know that their role was nowhere near as substantial or as important as the role of Jesus Christ. Jesus wanted his disciples to know. He wanted his disciples to understand who he was. And for you and me today, who he is. And the very same Jesus that walked 2,000 years ago with his disciples, teaching and showing others the importance of love, we can experience and know that very same Jesus today. Peter boldly made the claim that you are Jesus the Messiah, the Son of the living God. In John 6:69, we can read, "Also we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." 1 John 4:15, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." How important is that to know? Does God abide in you? And if he does, you abide in him. An ultimate promise given to us through our Lord and Savior. So now I give you this question. A very important question for the rest of this message for you to think on now, tomorrow, and for days to come. Who do you truly think Jesus is? This question has already been asked. It has not been asked by me. This question has been asked to you by the teacher, the great teacher. The Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself is asking you today, who do you say I am? If you sit here today and you have not enrolled in the school of faith, I encourage you, I implore you to enter into this school of faith. Don't wait for tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. The benefits of enrolling in the school of faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you parents will attest to this, you don't have to sign and fill out all those help forms. You don't have to list all your emergency contacts. Your children don't have to memorize their lunch number. You don't have to fill out all of those forms proving that your child has been immunized. And the greatest thing of all is there's no tuition. There's no books that you really must buy. Joining up and enrolling in the school of faith is a free gift that has been given. Over 2,000 years ago, the school of faith began. And it's still going strong today. The greatest institution in which you ever can enroll. Most graduation ceremonies end with a popular saying, which it may not be as popular now, but it was when I was in school. Carpe diem. And you know, that's supposed to be a motivating statement. It means to seize the day. But at the end of the definition, there's a comma. It says, seize the day, make a good of what's going on today. But you know what it says after that part? I didn't know this until this week, looking the words up. It means to not worry about the future. It means to just focus what's on in front of you. Seize the day. Well, that's great. We want to encourage people to seize the day and to take opportunities that are provided each and every day. But I also looked up the word in Latin for the word faith. And that word is pronounced fide. So today, I encourage you to seize the faith. Carpe fide. Seize the faith. And when you seize the faith, God can do wonderful and mighty things within your life. But you've got to surrender it all to Him. You've got to allow Him to use you so that you can seize the faith. We must live for the moment, but we must focus on who holds the future. It's very important you think about today, but know who holds the future. So won't you, if you have not already, enroll into the school of faith. Let us pray. Now, to Him, O God, who is able to keep us from stumbling, Father, and to present You faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to our God and our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.